Welcome to Shallow Deep Dive, where we take a deep-ish dive into the shallow world of branding, advertising, and creative. I'm Joe Qualls. Today, we're talking about content, and the one thing artificial intelligence still can't hand you, a point of view. This is the fifth and final part of a five-part series we've been doing on brands and AI. Here's a small scene that happens somewhere every day now. A brand needs an article. Someone opens a tool, types a sentence about the category, and a tidy paragraph appears in seconds. It's grammatical. It's structured. It has a confident opening and a neat little conclusion. And it is, in the most literal sense, publishable. The cursor sits over the button. That's the moment we want to talk about. Because the tool has made one thing genuinely easy, and it's worth being precise about which thing. It has made it easy to publish. It has not made it easy to say something worth publishing. Those are two different achievements, and only one of them was ever the hard part. Think about what that tidy paragraph actually contains. It's a competent summary of what a model already knew about the category, which is to say, what everyone already knew. Every business in that category can now produce the same paragraph on the same afternoon, at the same cost, which is roughly none. And the internet, whatever it was short of, was not short of that. It was already full of clean, forgettable writing about every category on earth. We've just made it cheaper to add more. So the useful question, before you publish anything, is quieter than it sounds. What do we know that a generic model wouldn't? Not what's true about the category in general. What's true because we did the work. If the answer is nothing, the article isn't finished. It's just formatted. There's a plain test hiding in that. If a piece could have been published by any business in your category, it probably shouldn't be published by yours. Not because it's wrong, because it's indistinct. It carries your logo and none of your knowledge. Anyone reading it learns that you can operate a text tool, which, these days, is not the advantage it once sounded like. Now, we should be careful here because point of view gets heard as hot take, and that's not what we mean. A point of view doesn't have to be loud or contrarian or built to start an argument in the comments. It can be completely calm. It can be practical. It usually comes from the least glamorous place there is, the actual work and what the team learned doing it. This is the stage where projects quietly get expensive. This is the decision clients always underestimate. This one looks like a design problem, but underneath, it's a content problem. None of those sentences are dramatic. All of them are useful, and none of them are in the tidy paragraph, because a model that hasn't done your job can't have learned them. That's the real dividing line, and people are getting better at feeling it, even when they can't name it. There's a difference between writing that was assembled and writing that was felt. Assembled writing is smooth and slightly weightless. It moves through the topic without ever touching anything. Felt writing has a little friction in it because a real person is remembering a real situation. Readers pick that up faster than we tend to assume. They may not think this was generated. They just think this doesn't sound like anyone, and they move on, which points at the thing that's genuinely hard to fake. The source material was never the category. It's the jobs, the real questions clients asked. The constraint that reshaped a whole project in week 3, the decision a client made that surprised you, and the reason they gave when you asked. That material doesn't live in a model. It lives in your studio, in your inbox, in the meeting you had on Tuesday. It's specific, it's a little messy, and it's yours. A tool can help you shape it. It cannot supply it. And this quietly changes where the value sits. It moves out of the drafting and into the edit. The draft was never the scarce part. A machine will hand you a competent draft all day and never tire of it. The work is what you do to the draft afterwards. Cut the generic introduction, the one that warms up for 3 sentences and says nothing. Add the thing you actually say out loud in meetings but somehow never write down. Name the real trade-off, the one that costs something on both sides, instead of the safe non-answer that offends no one and helps no one. That's maybe 10 minutes of editing. It's also the 10 minutes that decides whether the piece was worth anyone's time. Now, the honest objection. Someone will say, we don't have the luxury of only publishing the good ones. We're told to publish constantly, for search, for the feed, for the sense that the brand is alive. And it's true that volume has its own gravity, but it's worth noticing what that argument quietly assumes, that more pages is the same as more presence. It isn't. 10 forgettable articles don't add up to one that a person remembers and forwards. Filling the schedule with things nobody needed isn't a content strategy. It's just motion. And increasingly, everyone can tell the difference. So the standard that falls out of all this is simple and a little old-fashioned. Publish only what you can stand behind, not everything you can generate. The thing you'd be content to have your name on, if someone quoted it back to you in a year. There is no shortage of content anymore, and there won't be again. There is a shortage of useful judgment about what deserves to exist at all. That shortage is the whole opportunity. Which is a fitting note to end the series on, because it has been the through line the entire way. Over five parts, we've asked for a plain, almost boring position on AI. We've asked for a brand that stays legible, to people and to machines. We've asked for a sharper brief, because the faster the tool, the more the brief has to carry. We've asked for brand guidelines that finally include an AI chapter. And today, for content that has a point of view, five different topics, one argument sitting underneath all of them. AI raises the value of human judgment. It doesn't lower it. The tools got faster, and the scarce thing turned out to be the same thing it always was. Someone who has done the work and knows which part of it is actually worth saying. That was part five, and the close of our five-part series on brands and AI. Thank you for indulging us in today's shallow deep dive. We hope you'll join us for the next one. Until then, take care.